It's time now for Empowered Family Talk with Francita Hallris.
May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Good morning. It's family time, and welcome back to Empower Family Talk right here on Praise 107.9, Jacksonville, Florida. We the people hanging forward in this 21st century as we come together to balance these scales of justice within our identity leadership. Are we ready? Good morning, Marcus. How are you today?
Good morning, Francina. How are you doing this morning?
Doing very well, thank you. Glad to be here. We've got an action-packed talk today, and we're delighted to be joined, if I may, go ahead and introduce our guest. But prior to doing that, in reference to identity leadership, I'd like for our listeners to, in their quiet time reading, to read 1 Peter 2:9. Now, we are delighted to be joined today by our special guest, and for me, after 17 years, my leader, my coach and mentor, my teacher, and my friend, Mr. Stedman Graham. And before we hear from Mr. Graham, I'd like to give our listeners just a little bit of background about Mr. Graham. He's built a strong reputation for helping corporations and organizations and individuals succeed. His life's work has been and continues to be focused on teaching the value of process in identity leadership. He is the author of 11 books, including 2 New York Times bestsellers, and he's the chairman and CEO of S. Graham & Associates, a management and marketing consulting firm. And yes, Mr. Graham lives in Chicago, Illinois. Marcus, please join me as we together welcome Mr. Graham to Empower Family Talk today.
Welcome, Mr. Graham. Thanks for joining us today, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. And Francina, you're still on the case, so it's a pleasure to reacquaint myself with you. And thank you so much for inviting me to, you know, talk about my work. I appreciate that very much. And Marcus, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Mr. Graham, for being here. As I said, after 17 years and divine timing, and in times such as these that we live in today, Coach Tate Foundation has created the New America for Education. And one of the key tenets that we're learning about today is our identity. Our identity leadership. Could you speak with us just about what motivated you in 2019, a few years before, to publish such an impactful rendering of identity leadership? Mr. Graham, please.
Well, what I realized is that, you know, I've been searching in my own life for equality. And looking for how all of this works. You know, you're trying to put all of this together throughout the years, and it's a really long journey to kind of figure out how you actually put it together. And what I realized through, you know, traveling around, serving the U.S. Army, playing ball in Europe, getting my master's in education, you know, my relationship, of course, with Oprah and working in the prison system and all of this, you know, together, I realized that if you're looking for freedom, you'll never find it on the outside. Freedom is always on the inside. But there's a process for that. And one of the things I've learned in my work of writing books and traveling around and speaking around the world is that we lack, oftentimes, all of us lack the content that's relevant to our development. Now, I said content that's relevant to our development. So I'm trying to make that very personal in terms of self mastery and self-development and self-help and self-empowerment. And it really comes down to ourselves. You know, when we talk about the work that you do, Francina, around your spiritual work around God and trying to get people to understand the power of the word, you know, it still comes down to you ingesting that word into your own life so that you become a servant to the world, which is what Dr. King was trying to do, is to get everybody to understand that God is love, and love is the center of everything. And if you don't have it, you're pretty much a slave, and you're pretty much a person who's not able to take control of their own destiny. So I started this work because I was looking to try to, you know, unpeel that onion, you know, and get down to the core of who I was so I could actually start to do it right and put it all together and then learn how to take information, education, and apply all of that to my development so that the more I have, the more I could actually serve other people.
Amen. Marcus?
Yes, Mr. Graham, I've been reading your e-book that Francina sent over to me, and I've just been really very much aligned to a lot of things you talk about around identity leadership. And I was looking at the part about identity leadership is self-leadership, and I think that's so important for people who are trying to lead others. Can you give a little bit more context, Mr. Graham, sir, to how you've become a great self-leader in your own work and how you've been leading others to do the same thing from your personal experiences and all around the world being a successful entrepreneur for so many years in your life, sir?
Well, Marcus, I'm glad you got the importance of how it all begins. This all begins with self and self-leadership. So, you know, that is like, man, that's a paradigm shift. That was a paradigm shift for me. Oh, okay, we're talking about, you know, the outside world, you know, the house, the car, the money, the title, all those things that define our existence. But we don't often talk about how do we empower self, how do we create self-mastery. And it's almost impossible to do that the way the system is set up. Mostly because we are in, I call, a fixed mindset, which means that we're stuck doing the same thing over and over every day. So we're not thinking, we're not organizing, we're not building, we're not creating, we're not innovating, because we're taught oftentimes not to do that. We're just kind of waiting for us to, you know, someone else to give us a job, and basically, we're taught just to work and work and work without developing ourselves. And then we go to school, and the school teaches us how to memorize and take tests, repeat the information back, get labeled with the grade, and 2 weeks later, we forget the information. So it's not even, the setup is not even correct. So when I discovered that was a problem, that's a problem for me, because this is about me, okay? So this is about my own development, my own journey, and then being able to share that with the rest of the world. And what I had to do was I had to break down the old programming, break down the old paradigm, break down the old thinking, and not focus on old thinking, but focus on new thinking. And that's even more relevant today with the pandemic. It's more relevant today with the economic situation. It's more relevant today with the climate change. It's more relevant today with the political environment. All those things that affect us, or we let affect us because of the programming we get, the racial labels, the gender labels, all those things that are designed to keep us in a box and keep us from really self-actualizing. So, again, going back to identity leadership, I created the 9-step success process, which helps people understand how to actually do it.
That's what I love. Thank you so much for that. If I could just jump in here for a second. Identity leadership is so important. And Mr. Graham and I came together 17 years ago, if you remember, in teaching about that paradigm shift. And here I am today in COVID, and we're at election time. City's burning down. School is now at home. our educators are trying to figure it all out. But it seems like we have a pathway forward here through identity leadership. It's so important to know who we are in times such as these, when America as a country is trying to identify who we are in this 21st century. Would you have any comments to that, Mr. Grant?
Yeah, I think it's a real interesting journey, because it really starts with one person at a time, and you multiply that as many times as you possibly can to create a collective consciousness of people who are actually going in the same direction. I've just described an organization, I described a church, I described a business, I described a community, I described a city, and I also described a country. You know, and that's what leadership mm-hmm. is all about. So the other part, identity leadership, is having the authenticity to know where to start. And you start with your talents, you start with your skills, you start with your purpose, you start with your passion, you start with, you know, those things that make up who you are. You start with your identity, and you mm-hmm. build that, and you structure that, and you continue to work on that. And then you then go to the vision part of this. The good book says where there is no vision, the people perish. So you got to be able to visualize where you're going. You got to know who you are, where you're going, and then you got to have the how that you're going to get there. That's the importance of education, Francina and yeah. Marcus, is that you're able to understand the power of education and how that relates to building your own personal and professional development. And that's where we are right now. We're looking to try to get to the next level, but for the mm-hmm. most part, we are still focusing on antiquated information, antiquated mm-hmm. content that's not relevant to our personal and professional development. And so we have to really seek that out for ourselves, but it's hard to find that information, which is why I work so hard trying to get this information in the schools, trying to get this information in the colleges, trying to get this information into corporate America, and try to get this information into organizations and try to empower people so they understand the process of how to organize information around their passion, their heart, their soul, transfer it to their mind so they become actively a thinking human being, and then transfer that to the global marketplace today. You couldn't have a better opportunity today than today. And we have to look at it from that perspective, because you have technology. So if you can take technology and apply that technology to our own development, to who we are as a person, you can begin to be competitive in the world that we live in.
Marcus, do you have any additional comments to that? That's simplified.
No, I think it's great. I would like to really bring to context what Mr. Grant talked about in his book. There's a quote that I read that I would love to hear some more of his expertise. And Mr. Graham, I am a speaker like yourself, so things you're talking about are really, I'm taking a lot of notes right now. They're really helping me in my career, and I just want to thank you for sharing all this information. I see it's a quote here in your book by Lao Tzu, 6th century. A leader is best when people barely know he exists. Not so good when people obey and acclaim him. Worse when they despise him. But of a good leader who talks little, when his work is done, his aim fulfilled, they will say, we did it ourselves. Would love to hear your thoughts on that quote and why you picked that quote to be in your book.
Well, because you're not, as a leader or as a person that's able to lead themselves, you want to be able to lead with humility. Mm-hmm. And you want to be able to lead without ego. The ego is what takes you out. You know, if you're good at something, if Michael Jordan, and I often talk about him a lot because he's, I've known him for a number of years, and I followed his mm-hmm. career early before he even became Michael Jordan. I knew him. And so he's good. He doesn't have to brag about who he is. You know, he just is. And so the guys, you know, Kobe, who passed away, unfortunately, they don't have to brag about who they are. They just are. Chaz Bozeman, you know, who just passed away. They don't have to brag about who they are. They just are. And so what you have is you have the ability to let your work define your existence and let your abilities and talents and skills be your ego and let that talk for you. And that is, action speaks much louder than words, as we know that phrase. So when I talk about that quote, we're talking about, you know, no one makes it alone. No man or woman is an island unto themselves. You can't make it by yourself. So you're trying to get all the credit by yourself, and you become this person, and you all this, you know, and you're all that. There's no way you can do that. I mean, my life certainly would not be my life without the impact that Oprah's made on my life. There's no question about it. But I can name 50 other people, Bob Brown and a number of folks around North Carolina, and Francina knows Bob and all that, and a lot of people, you know, mother and father and my community, and all those people are part of all of our accomplishments. You know, so don't think that you just all of a sudden you can just make it by yourself. You can influence other people. You can be a good role model. You can try to help as many people as possible. But you didn't get there alone. You know, you made it with other people. And so your ability to bring people along and not act like you're all of that really gives people an opportunity to be able to share the spotlight and share the success that each one of us have had.
Awesome. Francina?
Yes, yes, Mark. You know, Mr. Graham, it is such a pleasure to have you today. And one of the key components that I would like to share with our listeners is your thought process on what does identity leadership look like today in 2020 as we look to pay it forward and to create a pathway for our next generation to understand who they are outside of the labels, to be a contributing value add member of society going forward. What does that look like today?
You know, that's a great question, because today, wow, we have a lot going on today in the streets. We have a lot of, I mean, I'm from Chicago. We have a lot of shootings there. You know, it just really... you know, people are confused. We're going through the pandemic. You know, we're quarantined.
Right.
We're dealing with a lot of things. So, you know, first of all, it really is about leadership, number one. And again, you can't lead anybody else until you first lead yourself. And so it really comes down to how do you prepare yourself. Success is when preparation meets opportunity. So the 21st century really is asking for, are you prepared to be able to go to the next level? And I would say that 99% of the people will answer that question probably no, I'm really not prepared. I'm confused on how I'm going to move to the next level. 50 million people are unemployed. You know, so you're trying to figure out what is the next level. And the next level always is to go within yourself, to figure out how you can become a strong identity leader, how you can focus on your authenticity, how you can organize yourself, how can you organize your talents and your skills, and how do you prepare yourself for the 21st century. So the 21st century is saying to us, you know what, you have to have the skills. You can't just come out of school today with a degree, and then all of a sudden now you think you're going to be successful, because the first thing people are going to ask you is that, do you have any skills? What can you actually do? So they're not looking for a generalist, somebody who has a general knowledge of things. They're looking for somebody who has specific skills that are relevant to, a lot of times, STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, which is why, you know, the educational industry is now focusing on those areas, because those are the skills that are going to be relevant to being competitive in the 21st century, not only in this country, but in the global marketplace. And now we're competing with everybody around the world. So, again, yeah, things have changed, but it still comes down to, and this is very important, to figuring out how do you every single day in the 24 hours that you have, which is what makes everyone equal, everybody has 24 hours, how do you prepare yourself, how you begin to work on yourself so you can be the best person you can be and develop a process for continuous improvement so that you focus on excellence as a standard for competing in the world that we live in and being able to, again, self-actualize your own potential first so that the more you have, the more you can give to yourself and to your family.
Amen. Amen. And Mr. Graham, going back to that statement you made earlier, and I'll bring my old church into this and piano playing, is we used to sing a song in church said, "May the work I do speak for me." And I don't know whether you recall that or not, but in today's leadership, these young folks out here today, as you said, there's so much technology and advancement. They're advanced more so than educators. So we have to find a way to codify education today. And my last and final question, Marcus, you'll chime in on this, is, Mr. Graham, do you think our families are prepared and ready today to be that educator in the home as we're looking at a new educational model due to COVID?
Well, I think that, number one, family, first of all, family is critical because nobody's going to deal with you sometime but your family. I mean, that's the last place sometimes you can go. You know, if everything fails, you know, you go back to family, which is why if the family's destroyed, if you don't have a strong family, if you don't have a strong family tree and a family background, and you're not working on family legacy. I mean, I spent so many years working on building legacy. We have I'm a part of the Spalding descendants. So, you know, we have 1,400 family members in our family tree. You know, so we get a chance to, you know, share and work on that. And so I spent a lot of time trying to help prepare, you know, my siblings and help prepare my family members. I have a daughter and help prepare her and son-in-law and help prepare them. So the idea of, you know, preparing with the right information and making sure that everybody can be shored up some way by family support is critical. I don't know if we have the right information today. I'm not just talking about family, but talking about individuals in the family. What is the right information that allows me to set my life up correctly? And I would say that, you know, if you don't have that, then you're looking for that on the outside when you really, your purpose in life, what you love, and love is a very powerful word because there's only two choices, love or hate, good or bad, will or want, can or can't, looking at the glass half empty or half full. So every day you have to make a choice around, you know, how you're going to empower yourself. And the only way you can do that, transformation always is about love and loving yourself. And so that is the core ingredients to be able to build anything in life, family, career, relationships, all of that is based on that one word. So your ability to be able to self-actualize love in a very practical sense and realize that you have the opportunity in the greatest country in the world. This is the greatest country in the world where you got schools available to you. We have information available to us. We have, you know, opportunity. We have, you know, all kinds of opportunities in this country that most countries don't have. We got running water and we got infrastructure and we got transportation. And so if you look at what we do have as opposed to what we don't have, and you can begin to organize that around yourself, organize all the resources around you, and you can begin to find your skills and your talents and your abilities, and then be able to share that with your family members, the process of success and how it works, then we'll have a stronger America.
Amen. Amen to that. Marcus, please, we have a few more minutes here, and I would certainly like for you to share your comments on that.
I totally agree with Mr. Graham. It goes back to Francine. Like you said, we were raised, my brother and I played in the National Football League, Mr. Graham, for many years. My brother's actually in the Hall of Fame as one of the top 100 football players of all time. Him and, as a matter of fact, Michael Jordan told my brother that he is his biggest fan from his work on the football field. And we were raised by a single father. Our mother left us when we were young men. I was 8, my brother was 14. But my father did a really big thing. He stepped up to the plate. He kept his job, kept working. He worked with my mother's parents, so his in-laws, his in-laws, and they helped raise my brother and I to be respectful men who respect women, ourselves, and education over sports always. So family plays a major role. I agree with Mr. Graham 100%, because without family, you don't have that foundation to build from. And if you're going to build a foundation in life, you have to have a support system and go vertical. So I agree with Mr. Graham, Francina, and again, our father did that for us, so we had the best chance to succeed in life on the football field and off the football field as well.
Fabulous.
Yeah, you had a great father. Awesome. You had a great father, and that is, you know, again, only the strong survive. So there's many reasons why we break down and we fail, and sometimes it's designed to fail. And so you have to be able to overcome those obstacles and create a system for success for yourself. So customizing, this is why I wrote the 9-step success process, because it's a systemic process that helps you create your own customized system for success so you can co-create with the world that you live in every single day.
Amen. Amen. And this is the new America. This is the new America. Marcus, do you want to share, Mr. Graham, any comments about the upcoming New America launch in Asheville, North Carolina, in November? Any key tenets you want to leave with our listeners to get registered? Either one, Mr. Ogden or Mr. Graham, please.
Mr. Graham, you have to go first, sir.
Yeah, so I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to share the work and talk about identity leadership, and I'm glad that you thought about me, Francina. And, again, any chance I get my work out there, and especially when it comes to young people, because I think that their young people are like they are the missing ingredients in all of this. And so we got to focus more on youth development and working with young people to empower them, because they're really the future. And they're also, when they get angry and they're upset and it doesn't work, then they can also, all the work that you created, if you're not taking care of young people and empowering them, you're not doing anything as far as I'm concerned.
Amen, and we're out of time. Go ahead, Marcus.
I think that's spot on. I would love people to be able to attend the event November 19th and 20th in Asheville, North Carolina, where Mr. Graham will be speaking, you, Francina, myself, Patrick Yankee, about multicultural leadership and professional development to help improve workforce culture and development in corporate America. And Mr. Graham is 100% correct. It starts with the young people of our society. They are our future for tomorrow.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. And Mr. Graham, it's been a pleasure, and we look forward to having you back with us soon. And
my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, my friend. And may God continue to bless you until next week. Same time, same station, Praise 107.9, Jacksonville, Florida. I am Francina Tate Hallress, your hostess.
Thank you for joining Francina Hallress on Empowered Family Talk. Tune in next week.